2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for being with us on the program. It is a beautiful Monday. We got absolutely blasted with snow at my house. Kids' school canceled or remote learning engaged, I guess. Wink. And the rest of the valley seems like nobody got as much snow as we did up north. I don't know why. We were just blessed with the moisture, Scott. Maybe you guys should have prayed harder.
Congratulations.
All right. I was just excited that we had all this snow. I'm supposed to love it because my wife is like, we love the snow. And then when you get it this much, you just have to say gracias. So there we are. Tons of snow on a snowy. By the way, it was 79 degrees 1 year ago today at Salt Lake City Airport. And today I had to shovel my driveway and snow blow the driveway twice. So that's where we're at. Hey, speaking of where we're at, on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, we're going to have Jeff Donovan from Get Your ERC Refunds is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that. If you want to get that employee retention credit, Jeff's going to tell you how tomorrow. There's still money available, so we'll let you know about that. Let's kick off the show as we always do with the cut at the top of the hour, and we are joined, my heavens, we haven't talked to Spencer Linton in so long. He's going to join us right now, so let's do it. Let's get into the cut.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. Costco, Associated Foods, Holiday Oil, and Maverick, all in the refrigerated section. Joining us on the program now, he is Spencer Linton from BYU TV. He's filling in for JJ today, not just on TV, but also with us. So what's up, Spencer? Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, I just can't get over the fact that it was 79 degrees 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. You blew my mind with that stat.
Hey, count your blessings, brother. Come
on. Spencer, if you stick around long enough, maybe by the time we get to July, it'll be 79 again.
It'll be 79 like in 2 days. Like, you know how it is here. So, boy, I like feel like we need to catch up. What's been going on, dude? Like, you guys have been just like working your tail off down at BYU TV because you got all this new movement going around in the Big 12. You got all this stuff going on. You guys had the pro day last week. You guys were broadcasting live from the facility. And so catch us up here, what the spring's been like for BYU football and the end of basketball season. Where are we at here?
Yeah, let's just start with the recency bias of pro day and how great it was to have a reunion of sorts. You know, not just guys that are participating in front of, you know, all 32 NFL teams that were at the pro day, but to have like the NFL brotherhood come back. Sione Takitaki is there, and Zach Wilson, and Tyler Algier, and Harvey Long. I mean, there were just so many guys there to support these dudes as they begin what they hope are, you know, NFL careers. So a lot of fun last Friday. Did a 2-hour show on BYU Sports Station, chronicled all of it, profiled all of it. Caleb Hayes stole the day. I mean, he's the off-the-radar dude that He's running a 4.3 140, has a 40-inch vertical, puts up 17 reps on the bench, which I think would have been second or third most among all defensive backs if he were invited to the combine. His shuttle drills were ultra-fast. Caleb Hayes, to me, kind of took the Chris Wilcox approach of an off-the-radar defensive back. BYU's not known to put a ton of those guys into the NFL. And he may have just worked himself into a priority undrafted free agent signing. Maybe sneaks into a seventh-round pick to join the other three guys we feel like are for sure going to get drafted with Blake Freeland, Jaren Hall, and Puka Nacua. But overall, successful pro day. As far as Jaren's performance goes, I said as much on social media today, but I feel like Jaren, his throwing session was so good, and spoke with his family after, and his agent is the same agent that Ben Roethlisberger had, same guy that did Carson Wentz's $100 million-plus deal. He said, look, I've been to a lot of pro days. And I know the agents do this. They use hyperbole, but take it for what. Never seen a quarterback look as sharp and throw the ball as sharply as Jaren Hall did today. He may have just bumped himself up, you know, a round or two. And so projected fifth round, or maybe he gets into the fourth round after a nice pro day. But that's kind of what's on top of mind right now.
Speaking of the pro day, once BYU enters the Big 12, which officially happens here this summer, what's the feeling around town about the having the pro day kind of as a centralized event? I believe it's in Dallas with the whole conference.
I think most people like the proactive approach by Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12. He's a guy that thinks big, dreams big, sees big dollar signs, comes from, you know, Jay-Z's entertainment group, is a Brooklyn guy, New York guy. I think they like it for the most part. There's a little bit of trepidation for the guys that typically, you know, wouldn't get an invite to a pro day. Like, you can, if you have your own school's pro day, those guys can still get a shot. Like, what happens to those guys? Are they just out of luck because there's not enough room for them? Maybe it's more of an incentive to play better and to be better if you want to try and get yourself
into.
It
helps you if you do that, by the way.
Yeah. Indeed, it does. But I think that's the only little bit of trepidation is, what about the guys that feel like they deserve to be at a pro day but maybe don't get the invite from the Big 12 conference? Is there a private event that they can host? Can the school still do something outside of the Big 12? Because what we've heard is, if you're not invited to the Big 12 thing, then that's it. You're done. So is there something made available for those guys that are a little bit too far off the radar to have their shot?
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Spencer, one of the things that that we've been, of course, watching this this weekend has been the Final Four and just how, you know, getting down to the Final Four and in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, this is as insane of a Final Four as we've ever seen. And so, is that good is it awesome for college basketball, or do you kind of go, hey, listen, settle down a little bit? We like to see some of the same olds in there. We like to see the big programs, or is it just awesome to have a ton of Cinderella stories? It seems like in the Final Four.
Maybe I'm a Scrooge in this college basketball conversation, guys, because I just feel like I want at least one big name, at least one big name in the Final Four. And give the FAUs and the San Diego States a chance to knock off the juggernaut in the Final Four. So it's fun, but I'm a little bit disinterested in watching San Diego State play Florida Atlantic. Just like, okay, I like the UConn-Miami game, and I feel like whoever wins that game is going to win the national championship. But it's fun, but I want at least one big name in there. And let me rewind to 2011 when we had kind of a similar crazy Final Four with 11-seed VCU who came out of the first four.
Right.
And 8-seed Butler was in there, and it was like, oh, this is madness. and it was just kind of a dud of a Final Four and national championship. I think that was the game that Butler shot like 25% from the field. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, that was the one where Gordon Hayward almost hit that half-court shot to win, though, at the very, very end. How could you say that was against Duke?
No. That was the first one.
Oh,
Butler got back again. Butler got back again and just could not make a shot, and it was just brutal. It was brutal.
Oh, boy. You know what, Spencer? You're talking like a guy whose bracket is absolutely in shambles, like the rest of us.
I did have one Final Four team. I got UConn
so
in the Final Four.
So did I. That got me the work championship. I won the KSL Sports bracket just because of that. Just because of that. And no one can score points
anymore. Thanks for the invite to that bracket, by the way.
Well, you know, if you're not invited to our event, you can always have one on your own outside of what we're officially doing. But, you know, it's one of those things, if you play better and you are better, you do get the invitation. I'm just saying.
Turning it around on you.
Well played, Scott. Oh, how I've missed you. I've missed you so much.
I'm pissed that you're not in studio because then we get the juicy stuff in the breaks.
Right.
You know,
I like to hear that stuff.
You better walk up here when you get in, dude.
What's going on?
I'm good for that.
Yeah.
What's going on with the spring football? Give us some insight there. What are you hearing about spring football? Keaton Slovis, anyone else? What's going on?
So I talked to Aaron Roderick on Saturday for probably 20 minutes just to kind of get insight into Keaton and his progression. And Aaron's not a guy that unlike NFL agents, he does not use hyperbole. He's very, very even keel, and I tried to push his buttons to try and get more emotion out of him. He's like, it's just not me. But he'll shoot you straight. And he used, some typical buzzwords that fans are going to love to hear in as far as like a quarterback goes. He said, Keaton's been consistent. It's like he's been in my program for 3 years. He said, there is an occasion and now and again where he'll make a mistake that kind of shows that he is still new in this specific BYU system, but overall he's like, he's just a veteran player. He's super accurate. He opens up the middle of the field, and guys have just embraced him. And he's excited to see what Keaton can do when, he has a full accoutrement of healthy options. His running back, the UNLV transfer, Aiden Robbins, is not really participating. He's injured. Cody Epps is still working his way back from an injury. So he's not really working full-time with all of his potential weapons. But, when you hear consistent, accurate, veteran leader, seems like he's been here 3 years, and we're talking about a guy that has been practicing in large part for about 2 months and a week since he got the Pro Bowl with this core. Yeah, those are good things. And he brought up a throw that Keaton Slovis had, I want to say 3 or 4 days ago, to Dom Henry, one of the upcoming receivers, where Zach Wilson was watching. And Aaron said, I knew it was a good throw when I saw it with my own eyes and thought, wow, that was a nice play. But then Zach Wilson made his way over to me and was like, dude, did you see that throw? That was big time. And Aaron said he's been making those throws for the past few months. And so, like you guys, I just want to see him in a game scenario. We're all kind of, and I'm sure, Scott, you're feeling it because we thought Charlie Brewer was going to be that guy at Utah, right? Like, we've seen this before. We've heard all these things. Can Keaton Slovis deliver and, handle the pressure of the Big 12 first year, being the BYU guy, and not have it kind of turn into a Charlie Brewer situation at Utah? I think that's kind of what we're all hoping to see.
One of the things I think, I made this comment on our show before about Keaton. It's like, if I was Aaron Roderick, I would just pick, what are you confident with? What do you just love? What plays are you and tailor the offense, because he's a one and done really for BYU. So make it whatever, just tailor it around what he's confident in, what he can run. Yeah, because I think Charlie Brewer, he wasn't a really good fit for what Utah was doing, and I don't know if they really did a lot to kind of tailor it to Charlie Brewer, but you just don't have years of like learning and developing. When you have Jaren Hall and Zach Wilson, where they've been in the program for a couple of years, they've watched other people do it, they've had a lot of experience, they're going to know it better, and when it's just, you have 15 spring practices and however many more you have in the fall, it's just not quite enough to get to a competent level to know all of it. So just know what you can, and people won't figure it out. By the time they do, you'll be able to run more stuff that you've gotten more comfortable with.
Well, Spencer, I was going to ask you though too, like, who are the other guys? Like, it's a deep quarterback room full of a bunch of names that people are supposed to be excited about, but who are we really supposed to be excited about? Because BYU is only going to get 1 year out of Keaton Slovis. Who's developing behind, and who could really be that next, you know, maybe Jaren Hall or Zach Wilson, guys who stay in the program a little bit longer?
Springville kid.
Oh, come on.
Where's he?
he's probably fifth string on the depth chart. But he's a true freshman. He's got a ways to grow. So that's a project for sure. But Jake Retzloff, who was the number one rated California JUCO quarterback, he turned some heads. Aaron Roderick is very excited to have him in the mix. People were wondering, oh, could he actually push, you know, Keaton Slovis for the job? No, and he's not healthy fully right now, so that's kind of limiting what he can do. I just feel like we're trying to get everybody healthy. At least Keaton Slovis is healthy, and the offensive line in large parts in good shape, so that's good. Defense, you know, the secondary and the defensive linemen are good. The linebackers are still working their way back. But, to answer your question, Alex, like, yeah, Retzloff is a nice prospect. He's got an absolute cannon of an arm. I think they're trying to get him familiar with the playbook and to help him have things slow down a little bit as he moves from JUCO into the Big 12. The advantage Keaton Slovis there has, obviously, is he's been in the Pac-12 at USC and in the ACC at Pitt. Like, he's not going to see a ton that is going to blow his mind. That's a certain positive. The thing you will notice about Keaton Slovis that Jaren Hall specifically did not do is Keaton really has a, like, his forte is those intermediate passes, and he sees the middle of the field very well, extremely accurate. He probably doesn't throw as deep or as accurate of a deep ball as Jaren Hall and doesn't attack the edges like Jaren Hall did with Puka Nacua and Keanu Hill and Chase Roberts, but he will open up the middle of the field. And so the guy that's probably the most excited at BYU is Isaac Rex, because I feel like the world has just been opened up for him again to attack the middle of the field with a guy who specializes in intermediate throws and can pick apart the middle of the field. Not to say Keaton can't hit outs and throw a deep ball, because we've seen him do it. He's got that capability, but right. That's probably where you'll see the most stark difference from him. The other quarterbacks, you know, Retzloff, Cade Fennigan, frankly, if the season started today, Cade Fennigan would be the backup, and it wouldn't be close. He'd be the second string guy.
Interesting. Spencer, before you get out here, we had Keanu Hill on the show. We've had last week we also had Isaac Rex talking about just, anybody who's a receiver or a tight end, they come on, they go, what's Keaton Slovis like? And these guys really like what they see. They like what, you know, how quickly he's sort of acclimated into the program there. And so it's been really fun to watch and having these guys come in. But what about Jay Hill's defense? How are they balancing out, like, him? Is there a way to go too hard, I guess, in spring, especially when you've just rolled in?
Yeah, it's different, you know, and I thought I should ask Aaron Roderick about this too. So I said, I know you're the offensive coordinator, but you got to compete against Jay Hill's defense every day. What's the biggest difference? Like, is it too much? And he said, the biggest difference is it's just, frankly, it's way more aggressive. And with the aggression will come, you know, a few more dust-ups and dudes yelling at each other. And Jay Hill's been joking with offensive players, specifically Keaton Slovis, like, hey, I know we're coming after you. I know it's annoying, but at some point this will be good for you. Just it's going to be good for you. But aggression is the word that kind of sums up, you know, the whole mantra change for BYU's defense. I do give this warning, though. With the aggression, understandably, BYU is going to give up a few more big plays.
Yeah.
They're going to give up some passes for touchdown over the top. Like, it's just the way that Jay Hill runs the defense, and that's what's going to happen. And I don't think that there's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that per se. It's just different. Like, the aggressive nature will bring about some bigger plays given up, but hopefully it'll create some more havoc, because BYU, just in sack alone, you guys, last year, second to last in the country, Jeez. Which is awful, awful. You got to change that. And then in takeaways, I think they were 101st out of 131 teams. BYU's got to be way better. And so, yeah, Jay Hill's going to come heavy after creating more havoc, create more takeaways, get into the quarterback more, and some big plays given up, but, you know, they'll take the aggression and hopefully create some more turnovers and be a more opportunistic defense.
Spencer putting on the KSL TV hat tonight, or I guess it's a tie in your business, putting on the KSL TV tie tonight, and you've got a Jazz game that you're going to cover with this with the Suns, and of course, very excited about the Final Four and how things are going to shake out. So we'll catch you on the old television tonight. If you are in the building while we are, you better come up here, man.
Hey, you got it, brother. I can't wait for the Jazz to win tonight and jump up like four spots in the West.
And just totally obliterate expectations. Everybody goes, oh, now the tank is in. We've said that about 50 times this year, so we're looking forward to it. Thanks, Spencer. We'll chat with you again, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
There you go. Spencer Linton, KSL5 television tonight, BYU TV. Former classmate of mine in the broadcast program at Brigham Young University. He's a pretty good one.
I like Spencer a lot.
Man, I love having him on. Let's take the break here. When we come back, let's jump into a little bit more. Lamar Jackson's trying to figure out what's going on with his life. He's now apparently requesting a trade. I would love that. Just be like, hey, man, just tweet out. Just tweet out to people. I'm looking to get out of this job. I'm looking to get out of this relationship. Hey, I saw your tweet earlier. Did you mean that, honey? Sure. Why not? Let's come back. More to go around the corner here. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.